Support for Talking Art on WVIK comes from the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Logan Hamilton and Nicole Walsh, who are both educators in the Geneseo, Illinois School District, about the current state of art education. Welcome, Logan and Nicole.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Now, schools are reopening soon for the fall semester, and so it's the perfect time to talk about how we shape our future artists. What age groups are you working with right now in Geneseo?
I am working with K through 5, elementary at Milliken.
And I teach 7th grade art, and this year we have our first 8th grade art class going.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to cover today at least elementary through 8th grade. And let's go over first just the variety of classes that fall under the arts umbrella. Because when people think of arts, sometimes they think of, I think, just the visual arts. But there's so much more to it than that.
Yeah, definitely. Our district is really great at supporting the arts, and we got a lot of great opportunities for our students with all those different areas, and with our band programs and the fantastic theater clubs that we have up at the high school. We've got them all pretty well covered, and we do some things a little bit differently with some of our programs that other schools don't, that I think makes us pretty special. That's why I'm excited to teach there. It's pretty great.
So the arts, you had mentioned a band and theater, but it also covers, choirs, mm-hmm. Orchestra, dance. So there's so many components really to the arts. And there are many skills that classes in the arts teach you that may not be recognized. And you, Logan, we spoke earlier, you really champion the fact that an education in the arts teaches your students critical thinking skills.
Yeah, I mean, really, a lot of times people think, when they think of us, our teachers are like, you guys teach your kids how to draw, you teach them how to paint, you teach them how to play with clay. And really what we're doing is, we're teaching our students how to be learners and how to be critical thinkers. That's what we're producing, and for us, we have the extra bonus of being able to do that with art as our medium, in order to teach them how to overcome adversity, how to come up with a solution to a difficult problem as they're creating their artwork, and really think for themselves. Mm-hmm. Something beyond just, hey, I made this beautiful painting. Well, what happened while you were making it? That's what really what's important too.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, what do you find with the elementary age group?
Along with critical thinking, my students, if they mess up, they generally want to start over right away. And that's not an option most of the times when we're far into the project. So if they rip their paper, they'll say, Mrs. Walsh, what do I do? And instead of giving them an answer, I try to answer with a question like, well, what are your options? And sometimes they're pretty harebrained. But then we come to a logical conclusion like, hey, let's put a piece of tape on it. And generally they stick it on the front and we have a conversation about that. And so there's a lot of problem solving, and I try to have them pull their classmates or a partner. I don't have all the answers, and I will tell them that, because each student that walks through my room will have a different solution, and some of them will be, what I have come up with, but most of the time they have something much more novel.
So there's some really collaboration almost even in that early age group,
yes,
that you're working with.
Yes, even with the youngest kids.
Yeah, and I mean, and that gets them working with us one-on-one as a teacher, helps foster that idea that, artists do collaborate. Mm-hmm. And so as they grow older, we want them to collaborate with each other and collaborate with other artists out in the community when they become practicing artists. Mm-hmm. So
I'm thinking about music, performance, and then theater. There's so much memorization that has to go on. So that's even something else. And just the act of being up on stage, the courage that it takes to face an audience, that has to help people later on with public speaking, being in leadership roles, that type of thing, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And when I was growing up, I was in band from 6th grade all the way up through college. And so, yeah, I can attest to those completely different skill sets that I learned in those, really helping foster my ability as I grew older to be able to, creatively think and create artworks, and that transferred wonderfully over to the 2D mm-hmm. for me.
What is your own personal background in the arts? Since you're art educators, I'm imagining that you're an artist yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I had always been really involved with clay, and when I graduated from Eastern Illinois University, there wasn't any teaching jobs open yet, and so I actually had a clay studio called Chicken Scratch Pottery in Marshall, Illinois. I had a historical building on the downtown drag, and I was one of those picturesque things where I got to throw my dog in the back of the truck every day, and we went to the studio, threw on the pottery wheel, people came in, bought her stuff, and that was it. And yeah, I still do a lot of pottery, and I have some stuff for sale at Smith Studio and Gallery in Geneseo.
Are you able to teach that in the schools?
Yeah, we do some clay units, and it's always fun to be able to really share that one special material that is your true passion with your students. Mm-hmm. And kids love squishing clay, so yeah.
Do you have a wheel, or are they doing handmade?
We're doing a lot of hand building. We do hand building at the middle school. The high school has quite a few number of clay wheels, and they have a developing ceramics program up there. So yeah.
What about you, Nicole?
I'm a dappler. I like to do anything that comes my way. I like working with mosaics. My background when I was in college was in fiber, so lots of weaving and fabric design with batik. I also enjoy working with clay and hand building as well.
Mm-hmm. Fiber art seems really to be on the rise. I'm seeing so much more of it recently.
Yes, yarn bombing. A few teachers and I yarn bombed all of our trees in our courtyard. We have an interior courtyard at our school.
At your elementary school?
Uh-huh. And so we worked on weavings and crochet and yarn bombed those. I also helped out with the Augustana yarn bombing that they did just within the last 2 years.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago this fall. And they've recently relocated that. I just saw mm-hmm. it the other day. It kind of graces this exterior wall outside. I think it's the Abbey House.
Yes.
On the Augustana College campus. So it's still there for people who miss seeing those bright, vibrant, yarn-colored, covered mm-hmm. trees. You can still find it on the Augustana College
campus. And the figgy is still covered with them up front.
What are some of the unique challenges that educators in the arts are facing now?
Getting the students to slow down. It's no secret that we're in an era where we have so many resources at our fingertips so quickly, and we have this ability to get an answer very quickly. And so when our students are presented with adversity, they want to know, how do I fix it now? And getting them to realize that, hey, failure is part of the learning process. Failure is just your first attempt in learning, if you were to use it as an acronym. And getting them used to this idea that, hey, you may not be able to fix this problem for, 5-10 steps from now. And it's okay, because you're learning, and that's what I'm teaching you how to do. Mm-hmm. And so that need to be able to go, boom, what's the answer? Do this now. I want it now. What do I do? That's tough.
Yeah, I spoke earlier with Dr. John Fouts. He teaches at Augustana College, and they've founded a Center for Creativity. And I think that's something that he alluded to, too, that their students, they really do sometimes need to fail. Like, you learn a lot from failure. Mm-hmm. And, we have huge successes in the arts, but you struggle. Like, I'm sure you don't make a perfect product or play. You certainly don't play an instrument well at the beginning. There's a lot of struggle that's inherent in that. And so there's value in that.
Along with that, for those students to fail successfully, you have to build trust. There has to be a learning community that is formed between the students and the teacher. When you try to help a student fix their problem, if they don't have trust in the leader, then they are not willing to take those same risks. So just from day one, it's so important to foster that learning community. It is okay to make mistakes. It is okay to, have bad days in your production. Mm-hmm.
And getting them, used to seeing that when they're with their peers as well. Because it's mm-hmm. one thing to struggle along with your teacher, in the eyes of your teacher, but it's another when you have a friend sitting next to you, that makes you want to hurry up and, and fix it all the more quickly. So really fostering those students' inner community with each other, you know, in their tables, functioning as a small artist group is something that we work on heavily as well. And they often give themselves, each other, way better ideas than we could ever dream of doing because they're right on the same brainwave. You know?
Do you think there's a problem with the arts not being perceived as worthy classes? You know, despite all the things that we've talked about, are they more frequently eliminated when a school district is facing budget cuts?
I mean, you hear that a lot. Geneseo, we've never experienced that because it is a community that has always really embraced all forms of the arts. And, I mean, even in the sense that they finished a major performing and visual arts update to the high school to really encourage that. And so we've never experienced that. We've heard the horror stories.
So that's great. Is there a way that the teachers in Geneseo, since it's a smaller district, is there a way that an elementary art teacher and a middle school and then a high school teacher, did they talk with each other about the progression in coursework and what students are exposed to? Does that go on?
Yes, we have a great camaraderie. There's five of us that teach art in Geneseo, and we are usually given time to work together. We also use a program called Atlas that's an online
curriculum database.
Thank you. Yep. Curriculum database. And we are able to make sure our lessons are scaffolded and that we are teaching the certain, you know, disciplines at different times. So the kindergarten is building the skills that they need, but it's also repeated again in first grade and second grade, but just adding that depth and breadth. And that goes all the way through high school.
Mm-hmm. And that's great to hear about because, you know, when I think just conceptually about a topic like math, it would be really easy to say, okay, everybody needs to learn how to do long division and multiplication and algebra and geometry, and you can measure that. But it's harder to measure progress in the arts. And so how do standards get created and what kind of standards are out there for art educators like yourself?
Illinois's got a pretty good set of standards. I've always been pleased with them. I can't remember when they were formulated, but I remember when the emails went out asking those of us who are in the Illinois Art Education Association, hey, which of you would like to help write these? Which of you would like to help pilot them? And that's cool because, you know, when they were getting created, they enlisted the teachers to help. It wasn't something that was just handed down. And when they came out with those core standards, it was stuff that we already do. And it was nice to put it on paper to make sure that we're all doing those, such as, Nicole's better at listing them off the top of her head.
Well, there's four anchor standards, creating, reflecting, presenting, and responding.
Yeah, so with the creating, getting the students used to, identifying an idea, developing it, and executing it. With presenting, you know, preparing it for display, choosing where it's going to be displayed, targeting the audience that it should be displayed for and how it impacts that audience, or how the location of the artwork impacts how that artwork is perceived. The reflecting, we were always pushing our students from the start to think back on what they had completed. Hey, how did this go? Why did you choose to say this in your artwork? How did you achieve that? What would you do differently? How will you continue with this idea? Do you want to develop a series? You know, where are you going to go with this? So we more or less just took everything that all these great teachers in our state do and made them into these more concise standards that we can all follow. So
So it's kind of process-based, really, than product-based. So you all are aware of those four components kind of as you're
right.
teaching. It sounds like.
Yeah, and it makes it a lot easier to slip in and out of them because you may not target a specific one of those standards, but you may still dip into it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I remember the old standards for elementary. Those were pretty wild. I remember it was more specific process and material-based, you know, students will use this material, students will complete a weaving, do this, you know, and it's opened it up because now that allows us as the teachers to gauge our demographic a lot better and teach to them and their needs with these more overarching umbrella goals and reach them better.
So it sounds like they have a really set plan, and I was surprised to find out that each state differs, and that Iowa, you know, we live in a community that straddles two states, Iowa and Illinois. Iowa just enacted a voluntary fine art standard just recently, last 2 years ago in 2017. Mm-hmm. So it does vary from community to community. We all hear about the escalating requirements that teachers face to document, you know, and then to comply with mandated standards for school education. Have those benchmarks impacted your work? Does it make it more difficult or does it make it easier for you to do your job?
I haven't really felt it. I mean, with our new school report cards, I know that there is a component coming up to it that involves the arts. I think it has to do with how many arts are actually just provided for the students at that school. So, but it's not like benchmarks in the sense that a math teacher has to reach for us. I mean, that doesn't really impact us that greatly.
So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
That's good to hear because somebody who's not in education, I worry about that because we seem to hear about it, at least through the media a little bit
right.
more.
Well, I mean, we have our own that we're constantly gauging throughout the day and throughout the year with each of our kids interdistrictly. I mean, that's what Geneseo is really great at is promoting their teachers' growth, promoting the teachers' disciplines' growth, and, of course, the students' growth. You know, I have at least two or three meetings per year with my principal that are not evaluation-based, but instead like, hey, what growth goals do you have set for your students and your program? How are you achieving them? How will you know when you achieve them? How's it coming? Mm-hmm. And so Geneseo fosters that really wonderfully, and it helps. It really does.
Illinois is such a big state, and there's such a, you know, there's such a marked contrast between the large Chicago urban area and rural areas. Do you think there's an urban-rural divide in the arts at all? Is it more challenging for students to obtain a, you know, a rich artistic education if they come from a smaller community?
I know we're very blessed in Geneseo having full support of our administration and our community. I don't know that I can really speak to some of those larger areas. I suppose if they, you know, have in the budget to have an art teacher, that given the standards that we have, they wouldn't be at a disservice. But
yeah, I mean, it comes down to the teacher, I think, too. I mean, we can do a lot with a little. You know, that's what us art teachers are great at. And you can make a lot of beautiful things and really foster creative thinking with very little. So, you know, I've been in those districts where cash is strapped. I started my career in teaching elementary art in Paris, Illinois.
There's a little pause there. I said Paris before you added in Illinois.
I like to get people a little excited before I break the news. No. In that district, they hadn't had an elementary art teacher for 30 years before I came. It was all grant-funded and volunteer-based, and I think they maybe had art once a week, if that, but mostly it was the classroom teachers doing it. And when that program finally flew, I covered two schools. Each school had 300 kids. We had just a little over 600 kids total on $300.
That's it?
Yeah, and we walked into a room that was an empty room, but, you know, I had a great principal. They set us up with some equipment and some tables, and we had my supplies fit in a double door cabinet. And but we did a lot. We
so
did a lot.
If you're creative, you can get away. You can accomplish a lot with somewhat limited resources.
Yeah, and that's what we're teaching our kids to do, too.
Was there an educator in your life that played a pivotal role for you at all?
Oh, goodness. I think all of my art teachers have been fabulous. I know at the elementary level, Mrs. Hirsch in Bettendorf, and she's now since retired, she was always my role model and the person I went back to. And Mr. Lennon at the Bettendorf Middle School, he's still teaching. Those two, I think, had the greatest impact on me, just seeing what is capable, and just creating that sense of wonder and adding humor into their lessons. And when I was in those two rooms, I just never felt like I could do any wrong. I was always so comfortable in those environments and could push myself and, could be who I wanted to be and be who I was.
Yeah. And with me, there's always many that inspire you. And for me, it was, I remember my seventh grade art teacher, Tom Lytle, over at Churchill Middle School in Galesburg. I remember sitting in that class going, you know, I want to be a seventh grade art teacher. He was that magic one for me, and because he was always so excited about the projects and the materials he was using. He was a student as he was a teacher with us students, and so that inspired me greatly. And my high school art teacher, Chris Dacalasa, was just so supportive, and you never felt like you ever were able to make a mistake. Everything was a happy oops with her. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, my high school band teacher, Darren Hicks, and he taught me the rigor I needed to learn things like on time is late, and he kept me organized, and I got to work with large groups of people.
I don't think I learned that lesson,
unfortunately. So, I too have had a lot that have touched me and really helped me in that creative realm to be who I am today.
Mm-hmm. Logan Hamilton and Nicole Walsh from the Geneseo, Illinois School District, thank you so much for talking today and for your work developing our young future artists.
Thank you for having us.
This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art in the Quad Cities for WVIK.
Our theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.